Blog Talk Radio.
Evening, sisters and brothers. I'm hoping that everyone can hear me. My name is Sister Leola. I'm calling from Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Let me open the line because I'm doing this a little different. Let me open the line. Sister Rosemarie, I know this is your number. Can you hear me? Sister Rosemarie, can you hear me? Let me see if my mic. Good evening, sisters and brothers. This is Sister Leola. Are you able to hear me?
Come back to this.
Mm-hmm. They're not able to hear me. Oh, well. How do you? Look, just go back.
I'm going to go here.
No.
Where's the phone?
It's in here. Oh. Okay, I'm going to have to do it over.
I wonder if I turned the microphone on.
Oh.
In the car, you got to have a mic on there, too.
My mic is on.
Oh, you're just going to work through this phone?
Yeah, I got to talk through this phone. Oh. I'm working. Now we done cut it off.
Oh.
Let me see. Let me see, cut off. Yeah, I think I got it back this way.
Yeah, there you go.
Let's see how I got it on here, but seems like they can't hear me. Let me see. I have my mic on.
Sisters and brothers, can you hear me? Sister Rosemarie, let me close.
Oh, I got to hear Sister Rosemarie.
It's 857-505. Can you hear me?
Yes, Sister Viola, I can hear you. Can you hear me?
Can you hear me?
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I've been pressing numbers just to see if you can hear me. Let us begin with a word of prayer. Let us pray, sisters and brothers, because I've been having a little difficulty. So let us pray. And I will allow you to give your prayer request. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, I want to thank you so much for being able to operate this on my phone, Lord, and my husband's phone, and allowing us to get on the prayer line, Lord, instead of waiting for me to get home. So, Lord, I'm asking you to send down the Holy Spirit, Lord, to be with us on the prayer line. And, Lord, I'm asking you to help your people to touch one and please to share their testimonies, their
prayer requests and just to give you glory, Lord, and praise. And thank you once again, Father, in your son Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Sisters and brothers, I am very thankful to be able to get on the prayer line in my little and I had to come and see my grandchildren before they leave to go back to Oklahoma. They are leaving right now, and I was here joining them to just to give them a hug and tell them I love them. So thank you for being patient and waiting on the prayer line. So now we will begin. I thank you so much for being patient, and we will begin at this time. So I have Brother Eli on the line. Your line is open, 857-505. You can begin your prayer request.
Yes, Sister Miola. My name's Brother Eli. I'm calling from Boston, Massachusetts. Sister Miola, I feel sad at the moment because Sister Miola, at this time, Sister Miola, a friend of mine said that he doesn't like me, Sister Miola, on the van because my friend said that he is not in the mood, Sister Miola. That's why my friend's not in the mood. So, Sister Miola, I'm asking you to don't forget to lift up my friend on this prayer line because he needs prayer, Sister Miola. He needs prayer, Sister Miola. His name started with a J. So please lift him up in prayer this moment, Sister Miola, because Sister Miola he said that he do not like me. So I'm asking you to pray for him in this moment. Don't forget to pray
Amen.
For J-Harry.
Yes.
Because J-Harry said that he's not in the mood, so pray for him right now.
Okay.
Pray for him right now, Sister Miola. Yes, and sisters, to encourage me on the prayer.
Yes, yes, yes. And sisters and brothers, be with me in prayer while we pray for Brother Eli, because we do know that he have a love in his heart. And when a person have love in their heart, like Brother Eli, for his friends and family, he get hurt and he feels sad. So let us pray. Most righteous and holy Father, Lord, we come before thee, Lord Father, to pray for Brother Eli, Lord. Lord, you know his heart, and you know how he feels when his friends and his people around the neighborhood say things to him, Lord, that hurt him. Lord, we lift him up to you, Lord Father. And Lord, if we can just look to you, Jesus, when friends or people saying things negative to him or not kind things, Lord Father, if he can just look up to you, Jesus, and just say in the name of Jesus, or just say Jesus, the Bible says, the word, the name of Jesus is power, and that everything has to flee in the name of Jesus. The enemy flees, Brother Eli. He can't stay around in the name of Jesus because of the name of Jesus. So lift up your head and just call on your Savior, Jesus. And, Lord, as we pray for him, Lord, we ask that you continue to strengthen him. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. And sisters and brothers, continue to lift Brother Eli up in prayer. And now thank you, Brother Eli, for coming to share with us on the prayer line. And trust God, because we're going to go to the next column. It's 401-919. And sisters and brothers, I wanted to tell you earlier as I was trying to open the line, I'm not at home at this time, and I was opening the line on my phone and my husband's phone. That's how I was able to get on. So, and I was calling Sister Rosemarie. I'm sorry, I don't feel like I was harassing you, but I'm sorry if I was anyway. But I was just trying to make sure I was connected. So we're going to open the next line, 401-919. And sisters and brothers, please press 1-401-919. Your line is open. Give us your name and where you're calling from.
Hi, Sister Leola. This is Elder Richardson. I'm calling from Providence, Rhode Island. I'm glad that I know you were running around you and your husband and seeing your grandchildren and them off to Oklahoma. And I know it's been quite busy for you to jump from one thing to the next. And I know it's been a busy afternoon for you. But thank God that you have seen you through thus far, and I've given you all traveling mercies and given you the opportunity to see your grandchildren out off. So, but my prayer is for Brother Eli and his friend, that I heard him really in sorrowful heart towards his friend. And I just want to pray right now for Brother Eli, that God will give him the comfort that he needs and the blessing that he needs for his friend to truly show love and interest that he has towards them. So, Sister Leola, I would just like to offer a word of prayer on behalf of Brother Eli now.
Yes.
Our Heavenly Father, we are grateful and thankful for this moment, for the opportunity, Lord, again, to be on this Advent Life Prayer Ministry prayer line. God, we want to thank you, dear God, that we can come together, Lord, and where we can turn, Lord, to encourage each other and provoke unto love and good works, and to pray, Lord, for blessings, even for comfort and for peace and for strength to go through life's ordeal. And Father, we know that we have a Master, a Savior, Jesus, who is always there to be by our side. When we call on him, he will answer us. When we pray to him, he will hold us in his loving arms and give us the peace and the joy in our soul. I pray for Brother Eli at this time, as you have asked for prayer concerning his friend. Lord, you know his friend altogether and what he is praying for and desires to see his friend, Lord, come to know you. I pray, Lord, that you will work out everything and to bless and to strengthen and to give Brother Eli the strength and the need that he needs, O God. And to know, Lord, that, Lord, you will see him through this and you will answer his prayers as he's praying for his friend, as he's desirous to see his friend, Lord, be on the right track. So, Lord, be with him and bless him in a special way. Comfort him at this time. Bring peace and joy to his soul. And may you speak to the friend's heart that they will also, Lord, come to know and to accept you, Lord, and receive you in their life. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Thank you, Sister Leola.
Amen. Thank you, Elder Richardson. Elder Richardson, God is good, yeah. I was wondering, Elder Richardson, this is a testimony. I was wondering
how I could
do the prayer line and also come here to be with my grandchildren for just a moment. Although I'm sitting in my book right now, God able my husband. Now, he had never gotten on the prayer line before, but he was able to find a website, and I put in my ID and my username, and I was able to get on the prayer line. You know,
praise the Lord.
even though we were on the prayer, and God worked it out in the prayer, and I was able to get on the prayer line and not be late because I had people here waiting. So I just want to thank God to allow everybody to give their request. So thank you for the prayers, for praying for me earlier, and also thank you for all. And I wanted to talk to you. I'm going to talk to you tomorrow by God's grace.
Yes.
So thank you once again.
Okay. Thank you.
Amen. Now, sisters and brothers, we're going to continue. God bless us. Oh, God is so good, sisters and brothers. We ask in the rest of everyone to please press 1 and share your good news, what God has given you this day or throughout the week. We ask you to press 1, and you can share the word that God has given you tonight. We're going to open the line for 985-232. Your line is open. 985-232, your line is open.
Good evening, sisters and brothers. This is Sister Gren. I thought I was in the queue, and something told me to press it because you might not be in it. So I just heard my sister say, press it. And I would have really been upset because the devil just had been riding me, so I won't get on. Just I have four phones in the house, and Thursday night, you wouldn't believe all four phones shut off. And the devil had me locked, and the four phones come off, and the prayer line was almost over. And I was in here sick, virus running over everything. I just couldn't get the strength to work on them like I wanted to. I was just too weak to fight, and I was like, I couldn't even pray and sit there like I wanted to. I just was letting him get his way and get upset and just got weak and had to lay down. Then after it was over, he let me go, fall in his place, and I'm like, something ringing, something working. What is all that? And I'm like, oh, I was just so outdone because I missed the prayer line. I prayed for myself to go on and everybody else wanted prayer. And I'm like, oh, I went to just talking so much in here to the devil. You thought I was talking to a person standing right in front of me, which he is in front of me because he hasn't did all the damage to do. So I just want to plead in the name of Jesus. He had to go through and from each way to get out of here. And I just felt good after that. I was sick. I looked like I just felt good. Lord, thank you, Jesus. But I just felt good because I was upset. I missed the prayer line And I mean, I was really upset because I just wanted to put my prayer in and get with my brothers and sisters to just where I get my joy, my pride and joy, and my fellowship. And I mean, all that, that just feel like I've conquered the world when I get on here and do this. You know, we miss sometimes, but we miss when it's things we have to miss. But not just when we just know we're home, we're waiting, we're ready. But I don't want to hold up too much time, but I just want to thank God because he's a good God. And after I prayed to him and everything, he relaxed and something. I said, it's okay. You're going to be able to make it. There's going to be no time. So I thank God because I know he's an awesome God, and he don't fail on us the way we think he would because we did something so bad. And we could just say, oh, I could just go mess up the world because devil don't want me on the prayer line. I'm going to just continue my devilish. So I just feel okay. That's all right. I just know what I did. I rebuked Satan and cast him out just like they get him out of heaven. Cast him out of here. So I say that city. I'm Brenda from Houma, Louisiana, and I thank God. I had that bug for 2 weeks on this grandbaby, and I'm working on her because she's trying to get it again. Guess it's something in the daycare center, but I'm treating her now, making sure she gets rid of it because I'm about gone. But just keep us in prayer because the parents or the senior kids will take care. You know how that goes. But anyway, I just want to thank God and want to ask God to pray for these babies that are going in and out of this place and facility. And all of them are getting sick this time of year because the hospital and everywhere are running over. And we know these babies are the cancer. So we don't know where they're coming from, where they're getting from. And bring you home to poor grandma, and grandma will have a good system now or anything, so I catch it anyway. So I just want to ask you a question, prayer, and I'm just going to read a little topic, say Psalms 121. I will lift my eyes up. Oh, I will lift up my eyes up unto the ill from whence come my hope. I would like to read Psalm 119:169. Let my cry come near before thee, O Lord. Give me understanding according to thy word. Amen. That's the main one I need right there. That's my best topic I could use for now and evermore. So continue praying for that Danlight prayer line and their ministry and their all the events coming up. Sister Paul and her events coming up, Brother Yudi and the rest of our family members on and off the prayer line. Pray for the four corners of the United States, the sick, the homeless, and all the other ones confined to facilities. We want to continue praying for Brother Yudi and his missionary ministry and all the rest of the missionary ministry going on so they can build them up and some help conduct us where a lot of us can grow into learning about our sickness, which I thank God me and Brother John have learned a lot. Thank God, we learn a lot. And it works a lot because it helps you to keep yourself from being sick. Like, I didn't have doctors to care for me. I've been caring for myself. And I'm just going to cut it short. God bless and ask God to forgive us. Yes,
amen. Amen, amen. Thank you, Sister Brenda, for sharing with us, and especially in the scriptures, and just telling the goodness of God. So we're going to go to the next to give her time to share and to give her request. So thank you. Oh,
hello?
Brother Don, you had something to say?
Yeah, a few things. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's John from Louisiana. Yeah, I just want to say, yeah, God has been watching over us, though, and just want to thank him for being there all the time, all day, every day. And I just say God knows two things, and I just want to say that whatever it is, I know God's taking care of us by our side and everything. And just have someone, Heavenly Father, to be there and to show us the way as we learn and figure out other ways to go through life a lot smoother and to roll a lot smoother. So that's all I have to say. God bless. Amen.
I'm on the prayer line. Thank you, sisters and brothers. Thank you, Brother John. And I'm here with these children, and they're all between me. So we're going to open the line for Sister for 256-945. And thank you, sisters and brothers, for sharing. So the next line will be open. 256-945. Your line is 45. Your line is open. 256.
Good evening, sisters.
Good evening.
Good evening, my sister, Sister Leola. I'm on the prayer line, Sister Rosewood. Want to give God honor and praise for being on here tonight, that I can pray to him, and I have my family, my children, my intermediate family. I want to pray for and Pastor Joseph Harris, who fell with a stroke on Friday. And they right now, they say the result don't look good, but we know God is able to bring him. And so we just have to keep praying, keep on praying for your wife and his two children and his sister-in-law and brother-in-law and his church family up here in Huntsville. So, Lord, I come tonight. I just want to thank you for your love and mercy that you sent your darling son Jesus to die for us, that we all can have eternal life. Lord, I thank you for the prayer line with Pat Elder Richardson and his group there in Tennessee. Continue to bless them, Lord, as they continue to go out in faith and want to do your work, Lord. We ask that you be with all us who be on the prayer line at night. Lord, give us faith that we will continue to serve you. Be with those who come on the Sabbath school line in the morning time. Protect them from hurt, harm, and danger. Be with their family, their children, their grandchildren, great-grandchildren, if there are any, Lord. So, Lord, I just ask you to continue to let us love you and do your will. Be with our neighbors, our friends, our church members all around here in Huntsville, Alabama. Help us, the Lord, to live for you and not for ourselves, and when we can do good by all mankind, that we will do it. So, Lord, I just want to thank you. I love you, Heavenly Father, and forgive me for all my sins and shortcomings. In Jesus' name, and be with all those who are sick and discouraged tonight. In Jesus' name, I do pray. Amen, amen.
Amen, and thank you, Sister Rosemarie, for the prayers, because I tell you, we need prayers, and we're going to have another prayer before Brother Akeem. We will pray. We will begin now. We will begin with a word of prayer now, sisters and brothers, because Akeem James, he would join us about 10 after in a few minutes. So let us begin to pray. We want to lift this prayer line up to you, Lord. We know that, Lord, in these last days, you say that the people are going to be running to and fro with itching ears, Lord, running here and there, not receiving sound doctrine, Lord. So, Father, we come to you, Father, with you in mind, Lord, just to ask you, dear Lord, to touch and to help each and every person on this prayer line, Father. We need you, Lord, to lead and guide us, protect us. Lord, do not allow us to become with these itchy ears, want to run and hear something that sound good. But, Lord, Father, and something like that sound good, Lord, we got to be careful of these things because the devil, the Bible says, Satan will show himself as an angel of light. And, Lord, we don't need to be deceived, Lord. We don't want to be deceived, Father. All those that's coming on this prayer line, faithful, Lord, I'm asking that you search the heart and, Lord, and help each and every one of us, Lord, to look up and see our redemption will draw nigh unto us. Hold on to his unchanging hand, Father. He's our only hope. So, Heavenly Father, Lord, I pray, dear Lord, for this prayer line, Lord, that we will continue to listen, continue to put faith in Jesus, not in man, but in Jesus, because he is our only hope. He is our only Savior, and he's our only all in all. There's nothing in this world that we need. Only thing we need is Jesus, and if we just keep our eyes on him, Lord, don't let your children look at man. Here or there, a man may think he's doing right, so righteous, or call himself whatever, Lord, but let him look at Jesus, because Jesus is going to be the one to lead and guide them, kingdom, Lord. So, Father, we thank you tonight. We thank you for this prayer line. We thank you for my Savior. I thank you, Lord, for him going to the cross, and that he made a way for me and you on this prayer line. I thank you, Lord, Father. I thank you that you were able to give up your only begotten son. How many of us would have had that little baby, that little young baby, and grew that baby from a babe to a man child and a respectable child? Oh, as so many of us, when we have such a loving, bright, and a good child, a goody child, nobody would give him up. But, Lord, you gave up your goody child, Lord, Father, for us sinners. Lord, a sinner you gave your child up for. Lord, how many of us would do that on earth? Not one. So, Heavenly Father, we thank you tonight. What you are doing
because, Lord, you say when you come back that we got prayer line, that we are continuing to work out our salvation, Lord, to work it out every day. We got to confess our sins every day. We got to tell Jesus, help me. It's nothing I can do of myself but put my trust in you. And Jesus will lead the way, my sisters and brothers. So we thank him tonight. And as we pray for this prayer line, we lift Sister Power up. We lift Brother Udy, his wife, up. We lift Sister Power up in her family, Sister Rosemary and her family, Sister Brenda and her family, Brother Elder Richardson, his family, and the work that he does on the Sunday. Oh, my Lord, I wish I was able to be with him doing that work, that Sunday work. I wish I had that enthusiasm here, Lord, to go in these Sunday church, Lord, with my leg limp and not in the best shape, Lord. I still do. But, Lord, Father, I'm asking that you can bless me, that someone can help me to be out there going to the Sunday church and being able to give these books, Lord. Also, Lord, I thank you for Brother John and Sister Brenda. They will be getting baptized. Lord, you say one sinner, the whole host of heaven is praising and rejoicing over one sinner that come to Jesus. So, Lord, as Brother John and Sister Brenda come to you in baptism, Lord, Father, I want to thank you. I want to lift them up to you, Jesus. Let them walk to that altar and allow them to be cleansed of the blood of Jesus, with the blood of Jesus, and let them know that they've got to walk with him until he comes. He says, he that endure to the end, the same will be saved. So, Father, we thank you tonight. And as Brother Akeem come to the prayer line, Lord, to bring us a message, we lift he and his mother and his father up to you. And we lift him up to you, Lord. We ask that you continue to bless this young man to spread your gospel all over the world, all over Maryland, all over Washington, wherever he goes, Lord, spread your word. Thank you, Father. Bless prayer line. Bless this message. Bless your people, Lord, Father. And we thank you, Father, for what all you're doing. In your son Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Thank you, sisters and brothers. Let us go to the board to see if our brother, our team, has joined us for tonight. And sisters and brothers, we are going to play a song. And hopefully I'm going to check my messages to see if he will join us tonight. But, yes, our brother is on the prayer line at this time. So we will open the line for Brother Akeem at this moment. So give me just a second. I will open the line. We're going to introduce Brother Akeem James to the prayer line. He is on, and his line is open. Brother, you have the line open now.
All right. Thank you, and it's good to be back on, and praise the Lord for the ministry and all that it is doing each night, and also in terms of efforts that it's doing around the world. And so I'm just glad to be back on this evening. And today we're going to be talking about an interesting topic as it's connected with the last day events and also the providential and prophetic connections that someone in the Bible has to our lives as Seventh-day Adventists. And so I pray that it will be a blessing to each and every one of us. And with that, let's have a word of prayer, and we'll head into our subject today. We're going to be looking at Genesis chapter 39, Genesis chapter 39. And so let us have a word of prayer. Father, I'm so thankful for everyone on this line, Lord, for the ministry of Advent Light. Pray that as we study your word this evening, that you might illuminate our minds, illuminate our hearts. Lord, break our hearts open that we might receive what you desire to give us. And more than anything else, you desire to give us your spirit. That as we are filled with him, we are indeed filled with Jesus Christ. For the third person of the Godhead, Lord, to have him is to have the greatest gift that we can have from you at this time. your Son, Lord, pouring himself out to us in the third person of the Godhead. I thank you so much, Lord. For this we pray that Jesus might be glorified. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. So this evening, we're going to Genesis chapter 39. This is something that I've been looking at in light of our studies on Daniel 11. And this is going to be a two-part series, or maybe more, but there are some things that I've been looking at in the life of Joseph that really connects to end time events and the experience that we must have as a people to be ready for that which is coming. And that once we have this experience, we have nothing to fear, nothing to fear at all, but we can have the greatest hope that we will be ready. By God's grace, when the time comes, we will be ready because Christ dwells within our hearts and he has developed our characters to the point that it can handle the final crisis by his grace. And so we're looking at Genesis 39 this evening. So we're going to verse 1. Speaking of the story of Joseph, we understand that sadly in the story of Joseph, we see the sad story of Joseph, yes, having dreams as a young boy, and ultimately his brothers became jealous of him because more favor was placed upon him by his father, Jacob, more than his other brothers. And his brothers became jealous because of that, and ultimately they sold him into slavery to the Ishmaelites, who then gave him over to the Egyptians. And the sad reality is that was family dynamics. And that shows you why there must never be favoritism, especially in parenthood. Because what can happen is that while we can love each child, while a parent can love each child differently, they can still love them all the same. And that's the powerful thing about God. God is not a God of favorites. He loves all of us equally. We even see in Scripture that if he would give his son for us, he must therefore love us like he loves his son. But we dare not mix up the reality that while God loves all of us equally, he also loves us, each one of us, in a unique way. And so it's very, the love relationship, the dynamics of each love relationship is different. But yet the love overall is equal for each person. For God has no favorites in his love relationships. And as each person that he has a love relationship with would be pleased and patient to learn whatever he tries to teach them in life, they enter into a deeper love relationship with him. Notice that I mentioned, it's not that he enters into a deeper love relationship with them, because he favors them above others. But there's a deeper love relationship between God and in the Bible you see between God and specific individuals, not because of any favoritism on his part, but because the human being decided with the free will that God has given him to give heed to the leanings and the pleading of the Holy Spirit, leading them into a deeper relationship, to want a deeper relationship with God. And that's what we see in the life of Joseph, one who was pleased and patient to learn the lessons that God was trying to teach him. And so therefore his experience was a lot deeper. God could teach him more because his heart was more open to God. His heart, he decided that he would be more open to God's leadings. And that's a decision that each and every person can make. Sadly, however, while that type of deeper relationship is open to all, not all choose to have that deeper relationship. And so hence, you see God working powerful in ways in certain people's lives, in ways that he cannot work in other people's lives. Why? Because the level of faith and the depth of the relationship in terms of surrender is different. So the more or the greater our surrender, the deeper our relationship and our connection with God will be, and the more powerful the experience with God based on his word will be. But the less open that the heart is to God's pleading and his drawing, the less or the smaller or the relationship will be shallow. It won't be as deep as someone whose heart is open. We see that in the life of Joseph. We see that in the life of Daniel, who was called greatly beloved. Not that God loved him more than other people, but it was that the relationship between him and God was deeper because his heart was more open. And as I mentioned, that's a possibility for all of us. With the freedom that God has given us, we can choose to give in to the wooing of the Holy Spirit. We see the same thing in the life of John. More than the other disciples, we see that John had a deeper relationship with God. Okay? So this is amazing. This is a powerful truth that God is revealing to us. Now, as we look at this, we're going to see in the story of Joseph that God's relationship with Joseph was very deep, but we will see practically now why that relationship was so deep. So we're going in our Bibles to the book of Genesis chapter 39. It says, "Now Joseph had been sold now to the Egyptians as a Hebrew captive now, or as a Hebrew slave, he had been sold to the Egyptians." And it's amazing because on the way to Egypt, he had to decide. When we get to Egypt, we find Joseph standing faithful in Egypt already, which means he had to make the decision to stand faithful even before he got there. We read in books like Patriarchs and Prophets, and I'm going to read a few statements to you all in a little bit from SDA Bible Commentary Volume 1, where we find out and we see that as Joseph was on his way to Egypt, he made the choice and, like Daniel, purposed in his heart, even before Daniel's existence, that he would follow God, that he would trust in the God that his parents had taught him about, that he had learned about in his father's household, that he had learned about at his mother's knees. And so now in choosing that, it's amazing, because the name Egypt actually means straight places or double straights, meaning two directions in which you can go, and either one will be hard. This is not straight, not that straight, but actually, or I think HT, but actually it's straight. That kind of straight, which means a difficult place, a hard place to walk in, a hard place or a hard path or a hard area to go towards. And so either way that he chose, whether he chose to stand for God, it would be hard. And we know that the life of the worldling is hard, friends. The life of the one who does not surrender to God is a difficult life, a life filled with unnecessary dangers. A life filled with falling into those unnecessary dangers because men and women would not choose to escape those unnecessary dangers by giving heed to the word of the Lord, by surrendering to the Lord and his word. But even, friends, if we choose the other path and we choose to follow God, friends, to follow God, that path is not also not a path of roses. It's not a path of total bliss. But friends, it is a path of bliss in the sense that you can have the assurance of God's peace. And not only that, it is easier than a life without God. Because in a life where you're following God, by God's grace, if we are surrendered at every moment, we can escape the unnecessary pitfalls. We can escape going through unnecessary trials. But if men and women will not surrender to God, then God, in his respect to our freedom of choice, will allow us to go into the paths that we want to go into. And many times it will be to the detriment of our own souls. So both paths are difficult. The path of following God and the path of not following him. Both are difficult paths. But the path without God is more difficult than the path with him. And we see that in Matthew chapter 11 and verse 28. Jesus says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you will have rest unto your souls." For my yoke is easy. The burden that Christ gives us to bear is not the titanic load of the world, that the world offers. But his yoke is easy and his burden is light. And so, friends, to walk with God is the better road. It's not a road void of trials. It's not a road void of temptations. But it is a road where, if we are submitted to him, we can avoid unnecessary temptations and trials, or falling into unnecessary trials. So Joseph made this decision in the as he was on the way to the area, or to the land of the double straits, the land where you can take two paths, two difficult paths. He chose the path of following God. He purposed in his heart that he will follow in the way that God had for him. And so now we find him in chapter 39. It says, and Joseph was brought down to Egypt, and Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, captain of the guard, an Egyptian, bought him of the hands of the Ishmaelites, which had bought him, brought him down thither. And the Lord was with Joseph, and he was a prosperous man. And he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. Now, this is amazing, because he went from his brothers, sold into slavery to the Ishmaelites. Then the Ishmaelites sold him to Potiphar. And so now we're seeing Joseph going into these different places, from a place that he's accustomed to a place that is totally new to him. And even though this was a difficult, traumatic situation, time he was in his childhood. In his childhood, he chose still to trust in the God of his fathers. He chose still to trust in Jehovah. And friends, there are times in our lives where we go through situations that are traumatic. And there are many that choose against God. But here in the life of Joseph, we are seeing such a traumatic situation. Yet Joseph reveals to us what we must do when we face the straits or the difficult situations of life. When we face the hard and traumatic times of life, God says to us, follow me. Choose me. Even though it looks intense right now, it will be more intense if we chose to not follow God, even in the midst of difficulty. Because you see, ultimately, in God, we can have the hope that in the trial, we can have peace. It's amazing. We know the end of the story. We know that Joseph ultimately became second in command, and we're going to come to that next week. We know that Joseph ultimately became the second in command. But Joseph, in this situation at the very beginning, never knew that that would happen. This is why I don't want to say to us, well, follow God, because in the end, you will arrive at the highest height. I don't want to say that. While we may, it may be that God brings us to the highest heights, but and God will work all things out. God will make all things plain in time, and he'll bring all things together. Everything that was evil, he'll work it out for good. That was thrown at us for evil, he'll work out for good. But friends, to Joseph, yes, while he may have understood this, his faith in God was for the situation he was facing presently. You see, the faith that we must have is a faith that not only gives us strength because we know what's coming in the future, but it's a faith that must lay hold of God in the present. To lay hold of him and trust him, even though we don't know what will happen. Joseph did not know he'll become the second in command, but he had faith in God for the present situation. And that faith in God in the present situation gave him peace in that present circumstance. So therefore, what happened was he was able to prosper, even though he was a captive. Even though he was being sold from place to place, going through a traumatic situation, when he finally got to Potiphar's house, you could see that God was with him. It says in verse 2, and the Lord was with Joseph, and he was a prosperous man. And he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. So this is powerful, friends. because he was willing to be faithful to God in the present, not knowing that he would ever rise to the second highest place in the kingdom of Egypt. Not ever knowing these things, but saying, God, you know what? All I know is right now. Same place where we are, friends, many times in the trials of life. We don't know what's going to happen. We don't know what's coming. We know that God is just. But we can know, friends, like Joseph, just walking step by step, that even in the hardest moments of life, if we are willing to submit to God, despite the circumstances, we can have faith that God will be faithful to us in the present. That he can give us his peace in the present as we work faithfully for him. And this is where I want to read to us a statement, powerful statement, from Bible Commentary, Volume 1, page 1096, paragraph 5. Now, where did Joseph learn how to make these decisions in terms of choosing God instead of choosing the world and going to a place that would symbolize the world later on in the Bible, Egypt? Where did he learn to say, you know what, I will choose the God of my fathers? It says here, the early impressions made upon his, Joseph's mind, garrisoned or guarded his heart in the hour of fierce temptation, and led him to exclaim, and we're going to come to this later, how can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? Childhood is the season in which the most abiding impressions may be made. The seeds sown in infancy by the careful, God-fearing mother will become trees of righteousness, which will blossom and bear fruit. And the lessons given by a God-fearing father, not only by precept, that means command, but also example, will, as in the case of Joseph, yield an abundant harvest by and by. You see, because of how he was raised by his parents, not only by what they said, but by what they did. See, many times you see, had Joseph at that point, when he had Joseph there as a child for the time that he was there before he was sold into slavery, when he was with his father, friends, by precept, as much as Joseph did the error of favoritism because of the situations that he was going through with his older sons, sadly, in every other respect, friends, Joseph walked faithfully before God, or Jacob walked faithfully before God. So Joseph had an example in both his father and his mother also walked faithfully before God. So he had a faithful example in them. This wasn't a parenting situation where parents gave out commands, parents were yelling, parents were shouting at their children and not living out the very things that they were shouting. This wasn't a situation where you have a father or a mother telling their child to do something and they themselves are not doing it. And that's a very serious situation in the church today. Many parents go to pastors and they say, and pray for my son, pray for my child, pray for them. And then when you really get to learn the inner workings of that family, you begin to realize the reason that the child is so rebellious is because they're following the rebellious example of their parents. You begin to realize that, wow, in most of the cases, not all of them, but many of the cases, because of the hypocrisy that children are seeing at home, when they get yelled at to do a certain thing by precept, because they're not seeing it as an example in the very parent who's telling them to do certain things, friends, that child is not going to listen. Or they may listen, but as they grow older, more and more the rebellion will come out. And if it doesn't come out, you can be sure by faith, I say this by faith because many a parent don't see it, that what child may not be disobedient to you concerning in your face, many times children will be disobedient on those points, not to their parents' face, but behind their backs. Therefore, you have hidden rebellion because there's not an example at home. There are words being spoken, but an example is not being given. But in the life of Joseph, it was different. In his childhood, his mother and his father not only by precept what they said, but how they lived. They gave Joseph an example of the character of God. And so now what happened? When Joseph was alone in a traumatic situation, he chose that by God's grace, which he had been taught by precept and example. He saw God in his parents. He saw the character of God in his parents. And so he chose that God that he learned from his mother and his father about. So therefore, friends, this is powerful. Now he chooses this God, and this God sustains him. Friends, this is the work of every parent. So this is what happens here. Prosperous, meaning God was with him and God was blessing him to such a degree that Genesis 39 verse 3 says, and his master saw, Potiphar saw, that the Lord was with him and that the Lord made all that he did to prosper in his hand. And Joseph found grace in his, Potiphar's sight. And he served him, and he made him overseer over his house. And all that he had, he put into his hand. Now, friends, while Joseph was being led step by step by God, he never knew he was going to ascend to the second place in the kingdom of Egypt. He never knew that. But he was walking faithfully, having faith in God in the present, following God in the present, though not knowing the future. And as he followed God in the present, regardless of the circumstances, we see something continually happen in Joseph's life. He was always raised to the second in command in whatever place he was. And this is powerful because this is what happens in the story. It says, and Joseph found grace in his sight, verse 4, and he served him, and he made him overseer over his house. And all that he had, he put into Joseph's hand. Now, what does that teach us? Because we, looking back in hindsight, we see what this led to. We see that faithfulness, despite the traumatic situations of life, results in greatness. When we are faithful to God, regardless of the circumstances, not knowing the future, we can be sure that, friends, God is preparing us for greater things. We must have God, we must have faith in God in the present, but we must also be faithful to God in the present, knowing very well that these are the first lessons of greatness. If men and women will influence the world for Jesus Christ, they must learn how to be faithful in the little duties of life. If we will reach the world for Jesus Christ, you see, many times as a prophetic people, we've talked about giving the loud cry to the world. But yet in our own homes, we are not faithful to the duties of life. In our own work, we are not faithful to the duties of life. And so God determines whether he can make us great tomorrow by whether we are faithful in the little duties of life today. And because Joseph just lived his life day by day, seeking to be faithful to God, not thinking about the future, not necessarily thinking about greatness, friends, God was establishing him more and more for the greater duty that he would have for Joseph. And so, friends, we see the first lesson in greatness, in being able to reach to a height that God can give the loud cry through his people. Each individual among God's people must be faithful wherever they are, regardless of the situation. Because you see, while the situation may be traumatic, God is with us in that traumatic situation. You see, the trials of life, the devil uses them in order to cloud our minds to the reality of God's nearness. So when we face hardships, many times the mind of a Seventh-day Adventist or a Christian can become so clouded by that crisis that they divert their eyes from Christ to the crisis. And so what is the result? We think God is not there. But you see, Joseph understood that even though I may be going through this hard time, it does not mean that God is not aware of my situation. It doesn't mean that God is not with me in my situation. It doesn't mean that God is not teaching me in the situation. Hence, many Christians, because they lose sight of Jesus in their trials, they lose sight of laying hold of the promises of God. They forgot that which they had learned, maybe as a child, or the first lessons that they learned about God's love, because they operate like that. In the trial, their minds become so clouded that they think God is non-existent. And so hence the lessons that God desires to teach us, we fail at learning them. Joseph was able to become prosperous in his trauma because he was connected to the God who was above his trauma. And so it must be for us. We must be connected to God for the prosperity that the master Potiphar saw in Joseph's life did not come from Joseph, but it came from the God who Joseph was connected to. And so it must be for us. We must be connected to God, knowing that as we are connected to him, even in a situation that looks so dismal, God can cause us to thrive. He continues by saying in verse 5, it says, and it came to pass from that time that he made him overseer in his house. So now he's second in command. And over all that he had, that the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake. And the blessing of the Lord was upon all that he had in the house and in the field. Now, can you imagine if Joseph wasn't faithful? Can you imagine he came sour because of his crisis? Can you imagine if he became downtrodden in heart and discouraged because of what he was facing? Friends, none of that would have happened. None of that would have happened. Because you see, discouragement, when held on to, decays the attitude so much that instead of men seeing a demonstration of God's character and calmness, they will see a demonstration of chaos in our lives. If we are intact because of holding on to the God who is above our storm, then what will happen is that people will see that calmness. They will see that devotion to God. And the result is that God will be able to lift us up, and in so doing, lift up and glorify his own name. It says in verse 6, and he left all, Potiphar left all that he had in Joseph's hand. And he knew not aught he had save the bread which he did eat. And Joseph was a goodly person and well-favored, meaning he was a handsome young man and well-favored. So the only thing that Potiphar knew about, things so much in Joseph's hand, that the only thing he knew about was what Joseph ate, because of course he was providing it as his master. But everything else, he knew that Joseph would do it well. Now it came to pass, verse 7, here's where the test comes, and this is what happens. When God begins to lift us up or vindicate us or exalt us, because notice he went from place to place, from his brother, sold into slavery to the Ishmaelites, then sold into slavery to Potiphar. And from that time, from his brothers to Potiphar's house, that was the traumatic situation. Now working in Potiphar's house, he was lifted up. God was starting to exalt him. So now the trial, while he was still a captive, the trial was beginning to subside. But here's what happens, friends. In the mountaintop seasons of our lives, the trials come right into those seasons. And that's why the life of men and women is composed of mountaintops and valleys. Mountaintops and valleys. And the valleys can just come fully in the way of the mountaintop experience. And this is why one of the crucial lessons for us to learn is that while, yes, the mountaintop is and does give us an opportunity for relaxation, the prime purpose of the mountaintop experiences of life is not for relaxation, but for preparation. Because we know that life, contained in life, are seasons of mountains and valleys, good times and hard times. And what God wants us to see is that in the good times, we must prepare, not focusing on the reality that a valley is coming, but still understanding that, yes, there are valleys, there are trying times ahead. And this mountaintop experience that I'm going through is a time of preparation. It's a time to prepare, a time to get ready, a time to surrender more and more in my devotion to God, and that I might be so filled with Him that when the crisis comes, He's the only one that will come out when I'm squeezed by the crisis. The only thing that can come out of us when we are squeezed by crisis is that which is in us. If pride is still in our hearts, if bitterness is still in our hearts, if we haven't gained the lessons that God wanted to teach us in the mountaintop experiences, then friends, if nothing is in there but sin, then sin will come out when the crisis comes. Now, by God's grace, the reason that God's favor was upon Joseph was because Joseph was always in connection with God. He did not allow his good times to be a time for idleness. But the good times, in the good times, he grew and continued to grow, ever grow in the connection, in his connection with the God that he had been taught about by his mother and his father, the God of heaven, Jehovah. So now, as this happened, guess what? When the trial came right into his blessing, when the trial came right into his hardship, right into his good time, I should say, right into the moments when he was prosperous, when that trial came right in that area, in Potiphar's house, friends, he was ready. When he was squeezed, only faithfulness came out. Why? Because beforehand, faithfulness was within. Faithfulness was developed. Preparation was done. So guess what happens? We see here, it says in verse 8, it says in verse 7, and it came to pass after these things that his master's wife cast her eye upon Joseph, and she said, lie with me, meaning sleep with me. And we know why that was. Verse 6 tells us Joseph was a handsome person, a goodly person, right, and well-favored. So he had authority from his master, and he had beauty in terms of he was handsome. So now both things could be a serious impediment if not controlled. And that happens in life today. There are many people that are attracted. This is why we must be ever so careful. The minister must be ever so careful. And even the layman or laywoman that has influence and who God is blessing greatly must ever be careful. Because men and women are attracted to men and women who have authority, whom God has placed his authority upon, whom God has placed his favor upon. And as a result, if we are not careful, the very thing that is a blessing from God can become a snare of the enemy. And so this is why Joseph, drawing so close to God, that the blessings that God had given him, which was a goodly figure, a goodly appearance, and also favor, which is blessing and authority and all of these things, he did not allow that to go to his head. He understood that while I have these things, I must still grow in Christ. I must still develop the character, allow the character of God to be developed in my life. And so now when he was tested on those points, because of the blessings that God had given him naturally, he still didn't fall. It says in verse 9, now here's how the temptation came to him. It says, verse 8, but he refused and said unto his master's wife, behold, my master wotheth it not what is with me. Meaning he doesn't care what's with me in the house, and he hath committed all that he hath to my hand. There is none greater in this house than I. Neither had he kept back anything from me but thee, because thou art his wife. How then? That's what we're reading in the spirit of prophecy. How then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? Now, here's how the temptation came to him. That was the first time, right? Now, verse 10 says something. It says, and it came to pass as she spake to Joseph, what? Day by day. Right in the very place where he was being blessed, the test came. Right in Potiphar's house where he had been raised to the second in position, second in command, to the point that his master didn't even care what he did, because he knew that Joseph was faithful and trustworthy and dependable. Right in that place is where the temptation came, friends. And this is why we must ever be aware. We must ever be watchful unto prayer, because the trial comes right in the territory of the blessing. Hence, we must be ready. We must ever be on guard. This is why Jesus and Paul and the apostles calls us to watch and be sober. Ever be vigilant. Ever be vigilant. Ever be connected to God. Ever be connected to Christ. That when the trial comes out of nowhere, we are ready because we see it for what it is. It says here, verse 10, and it came to pass as she spake to Joseph day by day, he hearkened not unto her to lie by her or to be with her. And it came to pass about this time that Joseph went into the house to do his business, and there was none of the men of the house there within. And here's now what happened. Now that no one's around, it says she caught him by his garment. Now remember, in the Bible, a garment represents a person's character or their reputation. And that's what's on the line in the great controversy, is it not? It is God's character, his reputation, that is on the line. And so God patiently is working out everything in the great controversy, that everyone might see indeed that he is just, and he's doing it patiently. He knows that it takes time. And this is one of the things that we will see in the story later on, that many times it takes time manifested for what it is. The role of man, however, is while at times he may suffer certain injustices, while men and women may suffer certain injustices, it is to trust and believe and be faithful to the degree that you know that God will work it out in time. You know not how, you know not when. Someone may come along to tarnish the character, to destroy the life. A man may come along, or a woman may come along, or a person may come along, a friend may come along that may tarnish another person's reputation. They may grab that person's reputation in their hands to destroy that person's life. But we can be sure that if we are faithful, and if we continue in that faithfulness, God will deliver us, friends. It says, and she caught him by his garment, saying, lie with me. And he left his garment in her hand and fled and got him out. So what remained? It says, and it came to pass when she saw that he had left his garment in her hand and was fled forth, that she called unto the men of her house and spake unto them, saying, see, he had brought in an Hebrew unto us to mock us. He came in unto me to lie with me, and I cried with a loud voice. And it came to pass when he heard that I lifted up my voice and cried, that he left his garment with me and fled and got him out. And she laid up his garment by her when until his Lord came home. And she spake unto him according to these words, saying, the Hebrew servant which thou hast brought unto us came in unto me to mock me. And it came to pass as I lifted up my voice and cried, that he left his garment with me and he fled out. So you see what happened here? In a sense, that garment in her hand meant that for that moment at least, Joseph's reputation was in her hand. And she did what she wanted, which is trying to destroy his reputation for the time being. And it took time to restore Joseph after that. But friends, I want us to look at something. I want to read something to you. This is so powerful. Because you see, at that moment, like many a Christian, you know what happens? When those things take place in our lives, we lose faith. When someone tries to tarnish our character, we stoop low. When many times we go through situations that are similar, we lose our faith in God. We become sour. We might go to church, but we are angry. We are discouraged. We allow the situation to corrupt how we operate, to destroy the Christ-like spirit that we could demonstrate at that moment. Just how God works in the great controversy, he gives us an opportunity to work just like him in the trials of life. But when the trials come, we lose our control. We lose our hold on God. But friends, that is by choice, not by necessity. We don't have to lose our faith in God, but many times we succumb so easily. The goal of men and women is that when the trials of life come, to look to God and to lay hold of him and to not let go of him for dear life. To not allow our circumstances to destroy us. Continuing in Bible Commentary, Volume 1, page 1097, paragraph 2, it says, few temptations are more dangerous. Now, this is how serious this temptation was. This is how serious this test was with Potiphar's wife. I want to read this to you. It says, few temptations are more dangerous or more fatal to a young man, to young men, than the temptation to sensuality. And none, if yielded to, will prove so decidedly ruinous to soul and body for eternity. The welfare, here it is, friends, here it is. Listen to this potent statement. It says, the welfare of Joseph's entire future, at that moment when he was tested by Potiphar's wife, the welfare of his entire future is suspended upon the decision of a moment. Joseph calmly casts his eyes to heaven for help, slips off his loose outer garment, leaving it in the hand of his tempter. And while his eye is lighted with determined resolve in the place of unholy passion, he exclaims, how can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? The victory is gained. He flees from the enchanter. He is saved. Friends, this is powerful. But notice that vital statement. The welfare of his entire future was suspended upon that one moment. Could you imagine if he had failed? There would have been, we would not have been reading necessarily then about Joseph rising to the second in command. And that's why many times, even in our world today, when we fail and we reach to the highest heights and God still lifts us up, it's a miracle. But there are certain situations in which these things may happen, and God now, certain things may not be able to be experienced unless God builds us back up to that level of faithfulness again. Because you see, it's not that God couldn't restore us. It's not that God couldn't lift us higher. But you see, sin does something to us. Sin does something to the mind. It causes men and women who indulge in it to think that it is a small matter the more and more they indulge in it. It corrupts the purity. It corrupts the understanding of saying, you know what, no, I have to be true to the Lord. And so the more and more men and women do whatever sin it is, in this case it was sensuality, friends, the less and less harmful they see it as being. And not only this, had he done this, friends, and the attack came against him, later on it did, because he ended up being put in prison. But when this type of thing happens, and it is due to us being unfaithful, friends, it is hard for God to then lift us up again when it comes to others. Because you see, the goal of God was that Joseph would remain connected to him so that he would be faithful, so that he would be able to raise him up to have influence over others for his kingdom, for God's kingdom. The thing was true, if he had fallen, friends, who would then listen to him? Everything that God was trying to build for him and making him prosperous would have been lost. And this is why it is a great miracle, friends, when people do those same sins today and they come back, they have an opportunity to come back to God, and God lifts them to the highest degree and gives them a testimony out of their mess. That is a miracle. But the point of the story is not to take God's blessings for granted. Joseph knew up till this point as we close, he knew that God had blessed him. He knew that God had protected him despite the traumatic situation he went through from his brothers all the way to Egypt. God then blessed him and placed him as second in command, made him prosperous, made his master notice that God was blessing his house because of Joseph. And then God elevated him to second in command in Potiphar's house, second to Potiphar himself. Now God does all that for him. And in seeing all of that, he determines, I cannot be unfaithful here. How can I do this great sin? In light of what I've been taught, In light of God, how God has protected me on the way to Egypt. In light of how God has elevated me in the sight of my master. And how now I'm second in command, second only to my master. How then can I break down what God is building? And friends, this is the attitude that we must have. We cannot allow the trials of life to break us down and lead us to fall into temptation because of the intensity of it. I will end with this statement. This is so intense, friends. It says, the part which Joseph acted, little did he know this, the part which Joseph acted in connection with the scenes of the gloomy prison, was that, because he was in prison after the story, was that which raised him finally to prosperity and honor. God designed that he should obtain an experience by temptations or trials, adversity and hardships, to prepare him to fill an exalted position. Bible Commentary, Volume 1, page 1097, paragraph 5. The last statement I'll read is this. It says, Joseph's faithful integrity led to the loss of his reputation and his liberty. This is the severest test that the virtuous and God-fearing are subjected to. That vice seems to prosper while virtue is trampled in the dust. The seducer was living in prosperity. That guy's wife was living in prosperity as a model of virtuous propriety, while Joseph, through principle, was under a degrading charge of crime, the most revolting. Joseph's religion kept his temper. Now here it is. What kept him calm even though he was misrepresented? Joseph's religion kept his temper sweet, and his sympathy with humanity warm and strong. And we'll see that next time, notwithstanding all his trials. There are those, here it is, here's the rebuke. There are those who, if they feel they are not rightly used, become sour and ungenerous, crabbed and uncourteous in their words and deportment. They sink down discouraged, hateful, and hating others. We have a lot of that in the Christian church today. When we are wronged by others, we begin to hate that individual. It's easy to do that. But you see, it takes a person that is a partaker of the divine nature to operate differently. And what that reveals is when a person hates someone else because they have been wronged, that reveals that that individual who now hates the individual they were wronged by, thing with the Lord as much as they should. Because you remember, while Jesus was wronged, he still loved. It's not that you won't seek for justice. But friends, love is mercy and justice united. It says they sing down discouraged, hateful, and hating others. But here it is. Here's the statement, friends. But Joseph was a Christian. No sooner does he enter upon prison life than he brings all the brightness of his Christian principles into active exercise. He begins to make himself useful to others. He enters into the troubles of his fellow prisoners. He is cheerful, for he is a Christian gentleman. God was preparing him under this discipline for a situation of great responsibility, honor, and usefulness. And he was willing to learn. He took kindly to the lessons the Lord would teach him. He learned to bear the yoke in his youth. He learned to govern by first learning obedience himself. He humbled himself, and the Lord exalted him to special honor. Friends, may we do the same. If that is your desire, then may you bow your heads with me as we pray. Father in heaven, pray and I thank you for these powerful lessons that you have been teaching us, that you have taught us this evening from the story of Joseph. Lord, you are powerful. And I pray that the trials that we face in life, that we will see them as Joseph saw them. And we will make the most of them by laying hold of you by faith. For we know that if we trust in you in these moments, you are only preparing us for greater duties. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Brother Akeem, for bringing us the word of God. And also, Brother Akeem, I have a scripture that fits so well with the message. It says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just our sins, and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And so, sisters and brothers, I want to thank you all for joining Advent Light Ministry tonight and hearing the word of God. And may God continue to be with you and bless you throughout this week and bring us through another Sabbath. So I will play a song, Grace That Is Greater Than All Our Sins. God bless you.